Today, if you'd turn with us over to the book of Ruth. This has been a very unusual last couple of weeks in my study time and preaching time here. Most of the time, many sermons out of the book of Ruth is the main focus of Ruth and Boaz. But the Lord has put in my heart these last couple of services to focus on Naomi and Boaz. I want to read a verse and then you can be seated in Ruth 1. Verse number 19, and I'll give a little background, share three thoughts, and I'll be done preaching this morning. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. That word means the house of bread, Bethlehem. Aren't you glad you know where the house of bread is this morning? It came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was, watch this word, was moved about them. They had been gone now for several years. And they said this question, is this Naomi? You may be seated this morning. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your love, mercy, and kindness. Help us to be a blessing to your people today. Lord, we want to remember Brother Jamie and Brother Dalton is their way preaching. Then we want to remember Lily. We've not mentioned her today. She's homesick, needs a touch. God, my two sisters out of this state, I pray that you'd prove yourself to them. Touch them on the bed of sickness. And God, those that have been mentioned here, Brother Chuck and Brother Harville, do great things for them. That family, God, Kelly's called, touch that dear lady. Help us as a nation. Help us as a church to be a church. Help us as a people to be a people that will stand up and proclaim the truth of the Word of God. In Jesus' name, I pray and I ask you, amen. And amen. Is this Naomi? No, it's really not the Naomi that left. A lot of you that don't know the background of the story. We preached last Sunday on Naomi and what she had said in verse 21. She said, I went out full and the Lord brought me home again empty. She replied to their question in verse 20. She said to them, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Now here is a very moving story. Matter of fact, in studying it, I never really was able to focus. I've always focused on Ruth and Boaz, and I hope the Lord will let me preach on that. That's what I come to preach last Sunday, but it moved to the bitterness of Naomi. But I want to give you a little background and think about her circumstances. Where has she been? Where have you been? Where have I been? The Bible says she had a husband named Elimelech. And by the way, young ladies, it's still right to marry a man, Elimelech. And so, therefore, they brought forth children. God's always intended a man and a woman in a home to bring forth children. And so they had two sons together. But there was a problem with her husband and leadership. His name was Elimelech, Naomi's husband. He found himself at the Bethlehem, at the house of bread. Everything he knew about God, he'd experienced it. Even his name, Naomi's husband's name, Elimelech, meant my God is King. He knew about the God of our Bible. He knew about going to church. He knew about the old songs. He knew about the sacrifices and the giving. He knew about the people of God and their customs. But the Bible said in Ruth chapter number 1 and verse 1, there was a famine arose in Bethlehem. But you'll notice that when Naomi came back home, she said that we went out full. But the Lord has brought us back home again empty. And you remember last Sunday I preached a few seconds on the thought, why would a man leave Bethlehem full to go to Moab to get empty? God had blessed him. It was the house of bread. And the Bible said they left out to go to Moab. Moab is a type of the world. And if we've ever seen Moab, we're getting glimpses of it in this day, in this hour. A very dark, dark people, a dark, dark world with lots of wickedness. They would sacrifice their children to the god of Molech. Could you imagine serving a god that he would sacrifice your children? They would take and simply cast their children in ovens, set them afire. You see, that's what the god of the world will do. The god of the world is still destroying our children, 60 million, since abortion has come along. And so now we find ourselves with this family there at Bethlehem, the house of bread. And this is what the Bible says. There arose a famine in that land. Things got tight. And I want to say something in this preaching just out of my heart this morning. I'm not a soothsayer. I'm not a prophet, neither the son of a prophet. But let me tell you what you better do. You better buckle down. Because the things that we've been so accustomed to may not stay the way they've been. There was a famine came to Bethlehem, and Elimelech messed up. He left the house of God, the people of God, and he went down into Moab, and he took his family, and this is where we find this text. His wife Naomi had two children. They married two girls in Moab. Her name was Orpah and Ruth. And you remember that Elimelech died. The husband died. He died. So this woman has seen this grief. Her husband has died. Now that's not enough. One of her boys, they die. And that's not the end of the story. Her second son died. So we see she's a woman with great grief and turmoil. She's in a bad place. So you remember the story now. She told her two daughter-in-laws, because their husbands had died, her boys. Said, look, I'm going back home. Y'all go back to your people. So the Bible said that Orpah reached and she kissed Naomi and she left her. That reminds me of a lot of people in my life. Their roots were deeper in Moab than it was in Bethlehem. They're fair weather friends. They'll walk with you long as they're getting out of you what they need out of you. So she turned and she went back to Moab, but this little lady named Ruth, which she's one of the ancestries of Christ, David, she reached to her mother-in-law and said, I've got a choice to make. I'm not going back into Moab. I'm going with you. And she said, well, listen, Ruth, I want to simplify this. I don't have anything to offer you. I'm old. If I married a man tonight, became a child tomorrow, could I have another son, and would you wait that long to marry another man? Ruth simply said to Naomi, her mother-in-law, I will go. So they're gone. They've left Moab now. They've come back to Bethlehem. They've come back to the house of bread. And I read that in the text in Ruth 1. When she showed up, they said they were moved about them. You know how people talk. People tickle me talking. They was a whispering, sending texts and sending emails. Cell phones was going off. We just seen Naomi come up the road. They said, "Is this Naomi?" She'd been gone a long time. I want to ask me and you something. How long have we been gone from the house of bread? I mean, maybe you've been here, but you hadn't really been here. So they were moved. And she said to them, "Don't call me Naomi." And I preached out of that text last week. She said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara." I believe with all of my heart, with everything that is in me, she wanted to be Naomi. But she couldn't be Naomi because she was bitter. Do you remember last week that simply in the names of these Bible characters, Elimelech meant her husband, "My God is king." Naomi meant, you know what her name meant? Pleasantness. You see what, young ladies, do you see what Moab will turn you into, a type of the world? I've been ridiculed about this a whole lot, where the Bible says, "Come out from among them, the world, and be ye separate." God's people supposed to be different kind of people. We are not to court this world. This church is never ever to look like the world or act like the world. He said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, and I will receive you unto myself." We need some churches that are separated from this world, that love sinners and loves each other. But as the Hebrew boys, they would not bow to that authority that was pushing them against their God. This morning, how far, how long have you been gone? She responds, said, "I went out full." You know something, have you ever noticed this before anybody ever goes to Moab? The devil will never show you what you've got, just what you don't got. As we were singing this morning and praying, Brother Howard, thank God for His goodness. I was praying last night. I said, "God, I just want to thank You for how good You've been to me. On purpose, You've been good to me. And I want to thank You for that." And a lot of times when the famine comes, we don't really see what we have, just what we can't get. But don't forget who you have this morning. And so she comes back now. Now I want to preach on this subject this morning. I'm going to preach over 10 or 15 minutes. But we looked last week as she went out blessed. She came back bitter. But I want to preach this morning out of Ruth chapter number 2, from bitter to better. Now, we know what's in chapter 1, but I want to ask y'all something. How do we get in chapter 2? The story changes for her in chapter 2. It gets better. I want to tell you, when I read this text, I'm reminded there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is help in the Lord Jesus Christ. Life may have dealt you a very bad hand. Life has probably not been fair to the most of us. But it lets me know that there's hope for chapter 2. You may find yourself bewildered, beaten down, and very bitter. But how would you like to get out of chapter 1 and start living in chapter 2? It's a great question, I propose. I want to say, first of all, notice Naomi's return. Before you get into chapter 2, you've got to get out of Moab. She said, "Even though life has been hard to me, I'm not going to stay in Moab." If anybody wants you to stay in Moab, you leave them in Moab and go back to Bethlehem, to the house of bread. Young people, if anybody's ever encouraging you to leave the church, to turn your back on Christ, drop them. So there is Naomi's return. Verse 21, Ruth 1, 21, this little verse is loaded. I don't have time to preach it out, but I want to give you these three thoughts out of 1:21. She said, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again. Then she said in verse 22, so Naomi returned. And Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. The devil will convince you that your best days are past, that you might as well throw in the towel. But I come to tell you this morning, don't miss the harvest. There's a God, you may find yourself in chapter 1, but He's wanting to get you to chapter 2. There was a return, and it began in the barley harvest. Things was going to get better, but it wasn't going to get better in Moab, only back at Bethlehem. Honey, can I tell you, we got issues. We got problems. You know why? Because we got people, and you got a real preacher. But I come to tell you, there's a God that has a harvest back in Bethlehem. So, how she got to chapter 2, first of all, we see Naomi's return. We see her expression in verse 21. She said, I circled it in my Bible. I went out. I want to say something. I said it last Sunday. This woman was in a very bad situation because her husband let her down there. But I'm going to tell you something. At the end of the day, she had a choice. And ladies, I'm going to give you some good Bible doctrine this morning. If your husband leads you away from God, you better serve God anyway. God is the one we are to worship. And so, we see simply this expression. I went out. Then notice in verse 21, the exhaustion. I went out full and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Do you see the exhaustion there? Empty. Can you imagine what this lady had went through? But now look at verse 21 and I'll pass. Not only look at her expression and her exhaustion, but now look at her experience. Look what she said. I went out full and the Lord hath brought me home. Look, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. I'm glad there's a God that's so faithful to His children. You see, what she understood through this whole experience in her life, there was a God that was watching her and bringing her back to the house of bread. But wouldn't it be a blessing that you could find yourself in chapter 2, down in the fields of the barley harvest, enjoying God, enjoying family, and even enjoying living? You know, we live in a culture that seems to be hopeless, but let me tell you, our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And so we're preaching on from bitter to better, Naomi's return. Secondly, look in chapter 2, verse 1, we see Naomi's Redeemer. This is an interesting study. Watch this, they get back, and this is what she says. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's. He is a mighty man. He is a mighty man of wealth and the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Who's that? Oh, that's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when she got back, she mentioned the fact to Ruth, her daughter-in-law. She said, I've got a kinsman of my husband, and he's a kinsman redeemer. He's a mighty man, this Naomi's Redeemer. You'll notice, first of all, her friend. I'm glad we got a friend and a Redeemer this morning. It was something very unusual in the old law in the book of Deuteronomy. This was the process. If when you were married to your husband, and if he had a brother and your husband died, then the law says that if he was able and if he was willing and if he had enough money, that when your brother had died and lost your portion, he could buy it back, but he had to marry the widow. So it was the brother's keeper. It was this principle of the kinsman redeemer. In other words, if I died and I had a brother, and I'd lost everything that we had, they'd come to get Renee. And if my brother so chose to pay off our debt and marry Renee under the law, then she would become free because she had the kinsman redeemer. So when she got back, she reminded, she said, "You know something? Seems like everything around me has died and everything around me has got bad, but I remember there's somebody that is a friend. And I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. We cannot be bought by silver and gold, but can I tell you, He paid the price on Calvary's cross to buy us back. You know why? Because we were sold in bondage. We were slaves of sin. But Jesus got on Calvary's cross and paid the price for this whole world. Now by grace through faith, we have a kinsman redeemer. And I come to tell you, He's a wealthy man. He's a holy man. He's a powerful man. He has it all this morning. And He's not only willing, but He's able to pay the price." We see Naomi's return, Naomi's redeemer. We see her friend. Number two, we see her favor. He was a wealthy man. A lot of the commentators said, yes, he was a very wealthy man. But the reason that he was such a wealthy man, that he loved God. So we see her friend, the Lord Jesus, as Boaz. Her favor. And then watch this, her family. Because the Bible simply says this, that he's a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. He's in the family. I want to ask you something. Are you in the family this morning? You know, it doesn't matter if you're black or white, rich or poor. You can be in the family by the blood of Calvary's cross this morning. Boy, I'm glad I got a friend in the family. So many of you've experienced in hard times, people could do all they could do. That's all they could do. But I sure am glad there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother this morning. So how does Naomi get out of chapter 1 to chapter 2? Here it goes. Watch this. Not only Naomi's return, you must purpose in your heart to get back to Bethlehem. Number two, you've got to remember who Jesus is, your Redeemer. And He can do anything this morning. You know, the devil can make you so sure that nothing can get better, it's unbelievable. But trust me by this Word of God, Jesus can make things better. The devil will make you think there's no way God can do that. God can do anything. God owns it all. He's bigger than anything. So how does she get from chapter 1 to chapter 2? We see Naomi's return. We see Naomi's Redeemer. But now let's look in chapter 2 at Naomi's rejoicing. Something happens. She gets back to Bethlehem, the house of bread. And all of a sudden, Ruth comes up in this picture, verse 2, and Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." Now this is the deal, a little background, I'm done preaching. There were gleaners and reapers. This was barley harvest. These men that were on these fields, these reapers, they were told to go in and gather. They would cut it with a sickle. They would bind it in sheaves. But they would leave some over in the corners for the poor people, gleaners. They could come in behind the reapers and they could get what they needed out of the corners. Aren't you glad in your life when the combines of life couldn't get over in the corner? God left you a little place over there. Let you get in it and get everything you've needed for your family. So, we find out that now Ruth has went out in the field, and I want you to notice Naomi's restoration. In verse number 18, watch your Bible. Verse 17, she gleaned in the field till evening, talking about her daughter-in-law Ruth. Beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Watch this. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. Naomi's restoration, we see what she saw. She saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. You know how good God is to us. Could we see this morning what God has reserved for us? Could we see how good God has been in spite of who we've been and where we've been? Can we look at who God is and He shows His kindness on Naomi? He allows her daughter-in-law to go out as a gleaner. She eats and suffices herself and she brings it back to Naomi. And Naomi saw. I wish God would open our eyes and let us see how good it is to be in Bethlehem this morning. She saw. Verse 18, she shared. Look. She took it up and went in the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." Now look, not only what she saw, but what she shared. She realized that the blessings of God was all around her. And God was so gracious and so kind. When she decided to return, God had something for her that only Bethlehem could give her. You might not think church is too important to you and your family. But if you're not careful, you'll find yourself down in Moab. But aren't you glad that you don't have to stay in Moab? You can come back to the house of bread. Now lastly, I'm done. Naomi's restoration. She saw. She shared. But now look in verse 20 what she said. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." Naomi's restoration, what she saw, what she shared, but what she said, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living," and look what she said, "and to the dead." You know what one of the old authors told me this morning studying that one little phrase? He had a great thought. He said, "Isn't it amazing that God is so good and God is so big and God is so kind that He blesses other people even when they're dead? That when our loved ones have died, because of who they were, He blesses the people that was connected to Him." You may be surprised. Let me tell you, your grandmama and granddaddy can't get you to heaven. Your mom and daddy can't get you to heaven. It's an individual choice. But I've come to tell you the reason some of us are blessed this morning is because of our forefathers. The price they've paid, the God they've served, the sacrifices they've given. Now she said, you know, God's been good to the dead and the living. In other words, even though my husband has died, He's been good to him by taking care of me. That's how big God is. And don't you never forget this morning, you don't have to live in chapter 1. Chapter 1's a terrible place to be. I was there about a year one time. Nothing like 10 or 15 years like her, but it's a bad place to be. I want to say this now. I read this morning. See if this will strike a chord in your soul about bitterness. What is bitterness? Her name was no longer Naomi, is bitter. What does that mean? Bitterness is a mix of emotions, including anger. That's where I was. About 5 years ago, boy, I tell you, something happened. It just got me. A mix of emotions, including anger, sadness, and disappointments. Something did not turn out as expected. And we better be sure that bitterness can come to any of us this morning. But aren't you glad there's somebody back in Bethlehem that's had their eye on us, that loves us and sees about us in spite of who we are? She said, God, You've been good to the living and the dead. You've blessed my husband even though he's dead because You took care of me. I'm glad we got a God that don't forget things. You mark this down, honey. Me and you may forget some things, but our God don't forget nothing except our sins that's washed away by the blood of Jesus. Thank you for being here.